This episode is sponsored by the Learn Jazz Standards Inner Circle. If your goal is to level up your jazz playing this year and feel confident improvising over jazz standards, the Inner Circle has everything you need and more. With monthly jazz standard studies, a library of powerful courses, and a vibrant community of like-minded musicians, you're guaranteed to improve your playing every single month. Podcast listeners can get 50% off their first month when you go to ljsinnercircle.com. That's ljsinnercircle.com or find the link in the show notes. Now, on to today's episode. All right, my friends, what's going on? Brent here from Learn Jazz Standards. Welcome to another episode of the Learn Jazz Standards podcast, and welcome to another Fast Track Friday. This is where I look back at this week's episodes and see if there's any recurring trends going on or themes I'd like to dive deeper into. And for the first time here, I'll actually just, you know, be honest with you. Today's Fast Track Friday episode doesn't actually have a whole lot to do with the other episodes this week, which is not usually the case for the others. However, this is just something that I wanted to share because I shared it recently with our Inner Circle members, and a lot of folks kind of resonated with it and found it helpful. So I know a lot of Inner Circle members also listen to this podcast, so would love to repeat it for them here, but in case they missed it. But also, I think it's a nice thing to share, honestly. And the reason I share it, which is, if I haven't said it already, my most embarrassing moment playing jazz. I'm sharing it not just to make fun of myself, but in hopes that you'll learn from this as well, right? That's always the goal here. So going to share my most embarrassing moment playing jazz and then some things you can do about it as well. So about over 10 years ago, really over 10 years ago, I was regularly playing with a singer. Mostly just duo and trio gigs with a bass player. And just in case no one's ever heard me play my instrument here on this podcast before, I'm a guitar player. I will say that singer gigs, this is just me being honest, singer gigs tend to be my least favorite gigs. When it's just me and a singer, definitely. But even if it's bass, guitar, and singer, because of course there's a lot of responsibility on the guitar player as far as timekeeping, as far as comping, as far as being the soloist as well, right? Like the main soloist there. So there's a lot of roles you play as the guitarist in a singer duo and a singer trio situation. I would take singer trio over singer duo. This is just me being honest with you right now, and kind of setting you up here just to say that these tend to be a little bit more challenging gigs for me in general, but good challenges in general as well. So this singer, she happened to be friends with Roy Hargroves, the late Roy Hargrove, trumpet player, current bass player, Amin Saleem, okay? So Amin Saleem at this time was regularly touring with Roy Hargrove, and Amin is a monster player, and so she started calling him to play our weekly gigs, and he was the kind of guy where he's just so chill, so down to earth. And, you know, he didn't really care about, if the gig was massively lucrative or not. It's just when he wasn't touring or whatever, it was something to do. And he just treated it as like, hey, let's hang out with my friends and play some music. Right. And so that's the way he kind of treated it. Just really cool, down to earth guy. So honestly, I was really nervous to start playing with him. Like, obviously very nervous. Like, okay, yeah, I could play well. But this guy was playing at a whole different level. And of course, instinctually, I wanted to impress him, right, when I was playing. So obviously, just the nerves are there. And I'm sure a lot of you can resonate with that, right? If you're playing with players that are really great or notorious, you can get a little nervous, right? I playing around New York, I especially when I was gigging a lot back in the day, it'd always be a moment when a heavyweight just happened to walk into your gig. Like I remember Russell Malone on more than one occasion, for some random reason would just happen to show up to my gig. You just walk into the joint and be like, you know, you see Russell Malone at the back and you get a little nervous, right? So as I mentioned before, one thing about playing trio with vocals and bass is you are very much so responsible for the rhythm and the time, especially when the bass player starts taking a solo. And playing with Amin taught me very quickly that my time feel was incredibly subpar compared to his. So like while comping for the vocalist, I could tell that sometimes he was fighting against my time feel. At that time I tended to rush a little bit, and you know, he just was solid as a rock, right? So it became very obvious to me that like, oh, Amin can really play solidly in time. And even just the fact that I tended to rush a little bit naturally, it made it hard for me. Even though he was spelling it out for me, it still felt hard because I was like, oh, I don't know. And also when he went to go take solos, he was playing far more rhythmically complex stuff than I was used to from a bass player, right? I was used to playing with guys that are like, right? And you can feel the beat going and stuff like that. Amin was playing that stuff, but he was also playing, yeah, complex rhythmic stuff. And that led me to get lost on more than one occasion while comping for him, right? That was awful. Like, I just remember he's taking a solo and I'm comping and suddenly I'm just like, holy crap, he threw me off. I have no idea where I'm at right now. And literally just stopping comping. And then because you don't want to fake it too much. And then sometimes I would fake it and I'd feel like an idiot. It was just so embarrassing, right? Like, especially in front of a player like him, I just felt so embarrassed. Luckily, Amin was a really patient guy, really sweet guy, like I said, really easygoing guy. That didn't necessarily make me feel much better, right? I mean, I still felt bad. The lesson that I learned from this, and I want you to learn from it as well, is simply this. It doesn't matter how great your note choices are. It doesn't matter how cool your voicings are. It doesn't matter how many tunes you know or anything in between. If your time feel and your rhythmic sense is lacking, something will always feel off. And we talked weeks ago about how not to get lost, right? What are some ways we can not get lost in the middle of a form? And one I talked about a lot was developing your rhythmic time feel and your sense of time and how just important that really truly is as far as not getting lost. And so this was something obviously like over time I've improved quite a bit on this. And part of that was because of this embarrassing moment, right? Because of playing with Amin and going through this learning experience of like, wow, this is what a really high level player is able to do. And when I'm in this situation, it's kind of shining a big spotlight on my weakness, right? And so it really forced me to work on this. So if you are someone that does feel like you're suffering from time feel issues and sense of rhythm and being able to feel that for yourself, not relying on other people for that, that's something you can start working on. So some things you can do is obviously metronome practice. You know, that's basic stuff, but setting the clicks on 2 and 4 and so on and so forth. Do subdividing. I talked about this exercise on that particular episode I was referring to. Subdivide into smaller units. Start with quarter notes, then subdivide with 8 notes and triplets. So just improvising over a song form, that can really help you deepen that sense of inner rhythm and inner subdivision that's going on when you're playing. And obviously, listen to lots of jazz and learn lots of solos, right? Like part of that is you're copying their time feel and their feel and their rhythmic sense. And that's going to start coming inside of you as well. And of course, just working on rhythm basics is never a bad thing to do. If you happen to be an Inner Circle member, we have a course called Feeling and Using Rhythm 101. That's a good basics rhythm course that you can take that will really help out. So if you happen to be a member, check out Feeling and Using Rhythm 101. So those are some things to focus on. again, I share this embarrassing story just for the sake of you hearing it and, you know, having some humor about it for myself, but also just going like, hey, right, if that's me, if I'm playing all the right notes, but my time feel is still off, yeah, I know that it's going to spell trouble for me. And so if that's something that you feel you need to work on, consider working on that in your playing. All right, my friends, that's all for today's Fast Track Friday episode, all for this week's episodes here, actually all for this month's episodes. And so going into the next month of episodes, looking forward to all that. So thank you so much for listening. As I always ask at the end of the week here, if you wouldn't mind doing a little favor for me, if you are enjoying this show, go over to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening, and leave a 5-star rating or review. If you've been finding this this podcast helpful for you, it just helps when other people see the podcast come up in their feed. They're seeing like, hey, a lot of people are really enjoying this podcast and getting a lot out of it. Then they'll find it and they'll benefit from it as well. So thanks for doing that in advance. I don't take for granted you just taking a few seconds to pattern interrupt yourself and do that. So I appreciate that. And of course, if you feel like you can share the podcast with anybody who you know this would be beneficial to, whether it be an episode that you really liked, sharing it on social media or sharing it with a friend on email, whatever you can do would be awesome. And you're helping somebody else in their musical journey, and you're helping me at the same time. So appreciate that in advance. As always, make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be coming out with some good ones coming up next month. All right. Happy practicing and cheers. Hey, podcast listener, would you like to ask me a jazz question and get it answered here on the show? Then go to learnjazzstandards.com/ask. That's learnjazzstandards.com/ask. I look forward to hearing your question and answering it on a future podcast episode. learnjazzstandards.com/ask, or find the link in today's show notes.